And I'm going to call this February 13th, 2024, regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. If I could ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and our moment of silence today, I'd like to recognize everyone affected by the tragedy that occurred at the law enforcement center. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticook people. And I'd like to call on Clerk Fabella to read the announcements and call the roll.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran. Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Gavaris.
Present.
Green.
Present.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Present.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I saw his list move.
Okay. Let's do it one more time, just so I can hear him. Roberts.
He's having trouble hearing us. Try
it again. Legislator Roberts, are you present? I'm going to keep going, and we'll call him in a minute. Sperry?
Here.
Stewart?
Here.
Uchitel?
Here.
Walls?
Here.
I hear the ding-dong. Just try one more time. He has to be seen and heard in order to count, so we can work on it throughout if we need to. Legislator Roberts, are you present?
I am, and I hear you loud and clear, Clerk.
Beautiful. 22 present and 1 absent.
In honor and recognition of Black History Month, I welcome accomplished poet and 2023 Ulster County Poet Laureate Kate Himes to share her art. Thank you for being with us here tonight, Kate. A New Paltz resident and leader of the Wallkill Valley Writers Workshop, Kate extols poetry's accessibility and ability to leave lasting images and emotions with readers. Her work focuses on the lives of free and enslaved people of African descent in New Paltz and throughout Ulster County. We're honored to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you for the invitation. It is a pleasure. There, I think that'll be a little bit better. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you to share these stories, these poetic stories of Ulster County residents from early in. From Ulster County residents who lived during the early 19th century. The poems I'm going to share are in the voices of two women. The first one is in the voice of a woman whose son was born. His name was Charles, during the period of gradual emancipation in New York State, which, if you're not aware, it had a number of caveats built into the law. And one of the caveats was that a child born to an enslaved woman after the 1799 law was put into effect could be turned over to the county poorhouse, essentially, is that they could be turned over to the county poorhouse so that the enslaver would not have the burden of taking care or providing for an infant child for whom that enslaver was not receiving any restitution or feedback from. So anyway, so this is a poem that grew out of that. The other thing that I will say about it is that when I became aware of this story, what came to my mind was a blues song and the refrain in the blues song, "My Baby's Gone." Title of this is Emancipation Blues for Charles. A woman wails blue. My baby's gone. He was stolen from me. My baby's gone. No matter he was born free. Free means worthless. Not worth a dime. Another mouth to feed. A body to clothe with no return on the investment. My baby's gone. Snatched away when he turned one. Free or slave, he does not belong. He is not bound to me. My poor baby's gone. Unwanted and abandoned is the lie they tell. They make my boy freedom's pauper. Then he has worth. The state will pay a charitable bond for the care of my baby made poor, as if his mama doesn't care. A southern trader in the peculiar goods will pay even more for a baby so young to steal away to slavery land. I beat my breasts, squeeze and squeeze until they are dry. My baby boy's milk is his alone. No other babe will take his place at my tip. Salt stings my eyes. I cover myself in white ash. I make myself the color of death. I snip bitter herbs, stir them into their dinner pot. My baby's gone. He was stolen from me. My baby's gone. No matter, he was born free. And the second poem is very different from that. And this is a poem in the voice of Jane Dale Wynkoop, who is the mother of Jacob Wynkoop. And there is a group in New Paltz known as the Margaret Wade Lewis Center that is in the process of raising money to rehabilitate a house in New Paltz that was built by Jacob Wynkoop. It's one of several houses in New Paltz that were built by Jacob Wynkoop. So this is in the voice of Jacob Wynkoop's mother. And what is known about Jacob Wynkoop, and this is from a historic Huguenot Street exhibit, Jacob Wynkoop never was a slave. He's born in 1829, 2 years after slavery was legally abolished in New York State. So this is in Jane's voice. Hallelujah! My baby boy born free. He's going to be his own man. I named him myself, called him Jacob. My boy going to be strong enough to do battle with an angel come down from God's heaven if need be. And still, he'll keep climbing. He's going to own land like a man. He'll lay his head when and where he chooses to rest. He won't bow down. He won't step aside. Eye to eye, he'll walk this earth. He's going to own his labor. These little hands will never wield a sickle in a white man's wheat field. He'll use these hands to build his own. I'll teach him to build on solid rock. What he builds will stand 100 years or more. You'll see. You'll see. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hines. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
I'd now like to announce birthdays for the month. Legislator Kathy Nolan, February 1st.
Yay.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And Deputy Clerk Jay Mahler, February 23rd. Happy birthday, Jay. I'd like to ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
And a second, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested. Just contact the office of the clerk. Thank you. Now I grant privilege of the floor to Ashley Knox-Aline, Director of Go Beyond Greatness, established in 2014. Come on up. Established in 2014, this Kingston-based New York State minority and woman-owned business provides counseling and career readiness programs for students and educators, including leadership development, college preparation workshops, guidance for continuous learning, individualized action plans and life coaching, and workforce development trainings. Tell us a little bit about your organization, Ashley. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Should we do the presentation? Please. Okay. All right. So thank you. Legislator Peter, Amanda, Ulster County legislators, you know, thank you again for your recognition and to honor Go Beyond Greatness in celebration of Black History Month in Ulster County. Your commitment to embracing diversity and inclusion is quite commendable. As Peter had mentioned, I am Ashley Knox, Executive Director of Go Beyond Greatness, Inc., and we are an educational organization that provides leadership development to youth and young adults with a focus in college and career readiness. Alongside me, we have our program coordinator, Sophie Ryan, as well as our new program manager, Kim Pataki. And Go Beyond Greatness has been running for the past almost 10 years. August will be our 10th anniversary. We're located in the heart of Kingston, Midtown. And much of our work that we do locally is in partnership with Heidi Kirshner and the YMCA of Kingston and Ulster County. Thank you for being able to join us this evening. And a lot of the work that we do is really helping our young people to be able to build themselves so that we can strengthen the economic development of our county as well as community building as a whole. And I think that a lot of the work that we have been able to do on the grounds in Kingston and Ulster County led to one of our great recognitions again from the county back in 2020, being recognized as a model of what does it take to build the next generation of leaders, and that was during the 2020 State of the County Address. So we're very grateful for that. I'm going to pass it over to Sophie so that she could just share a little bit about what's in the news. What have we been cooking within Kingston and Ulster County this past year?
So in 2023, we experienced a journey of growth and achievement with our incredible GBG students. This past year, we served 131 students, most recently completing a 10-week college prep program called Map My Future, Navigating the College Admissions Process with Confidence. I'm happy to say that 100% of our graduates have received acceptance letters to their college and 100% have been accepted to their school of choice.
Yes, thank you. Major accomplishments. And folks, I just want to say this is our future. When we look at the talent of Ulster County, you can contact Go Beyond Greatness and the YMCA. These are the type of students that we're working with. And most of the students that we're working with, I just want to dovetail off of the beautiful poems that our county poem laureate, Kate Himes, stated. A lot of our students are from underserved groups. We're talking about families from low-income backgrounds. We're talking about students that are identified as students of color, our LGBTQ community, students identified with disabilities or mental health conditions, students that may be a part of our foster care system in Ulster County. And we know when we're talking about this group, these are the type of individuals, our neighbors, our citizens, that are constantly faced with systemic barriers that limit them to opportunities of growth and limit them to being able to achieve life success overall. And so a part of our mission with Go Beyond Greatness is being able to tap into that population of youth and also adults, as we express young adults, and making sure that we can even out the access and look at ways on how we can bridge some of these educational disparities. A special thanks to Nina Dawson and the Ulster County Youth Bureau, as they have been a major partner in allowing us to provide a lot of the free trainings and educational programs to our youth and young adults. If you ever wanted to see what a GBG looks like or what's a day in the life of a GBGer and how we truly foster comprehensive and quality training programs in building our next generation, we have a short video where we were able to customize it based on needs. And a lot of our students are first timers with a lot of experience stepping onto a college campus or having the experience to meet a CEO or even just a business manager. What we do is foster these type of experience and help them with building the confidence that they can believe in themselves to be able to go beyond their greatness. So what you'll see here, which was in partnership with a lot of organizations to make this happen, it was our first historically black college, university college tour. These students here, they can believe after this experience that they can be the first generational achiever, the first to go to college, the first to graduate from college, or even the first to land a sustainable job or career right in Ulster County, be the first one in their family to become a homeowner. So take a look and you'll be able to see what we do at GBG.
Morgan State. Started off on a little bus ride, a long, little sleepy bus ride, and we got a tour.
Can you tell me a little bit about what HBCU means to you?
To me, it means like, it was my first time like actually experiencing one, so it kind of like made me think totally different about colleges and stuff. It kind of like meant to me like, this is like my community, this is like my team. And like, football is my favorite sport.
How many people here will be the first one to go to college in their family?
Beautiful, yeah.
A first-generation college student is a student that will become the first in their family to attend and graduate from college.
What's your favorite part about the trip, girl?
The football game.
The football game? The football game?
We saw some of the buildings and some of the stuff available on campus. I'm also a very big fan of football, so I like the game.
To help us still build out what Washington, D.C. is of today. So, really important figure that was touching and why they named that building.
Welcome to Morgan State University. Are y'all going to the game at all?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, just real quick, as you walk through here, I'm not sure what they explain to you, but these are our fraternity and sorority plots. And so at Morgan, we have over 20 different fraternities, sororities, and social fellowships. And so if you're interested in things like that, do your research, just kind of take a look at the history.
W.F. McMeckin.
What fraternity was George S.
It was Omega Sci-Fi Incorporated.
Omega Sci-Fi!
In order to bridge the gap of educational disparity, we must empower first-generation students and address the challenges they face in pursuit of a college degree and career placement.
It better be a good one.
Yeah, I was going to thank UBC for the experience, right? It was super fun. Oregon State was fire. The football game was fire. And thanks for all these great people for teaching
you.
Us everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Woo! All right.
I just want to say, as an organization, we are very excited to continue increasing our presence in Kingston and Ulster County through student programs. But in addition to these programs, we plan to incorporate more adult engagement through programs that will touch upon workforce development and promote positive mental health for our community. If you'd like to meet with us and learn more about GBG, please contact us at info@gobeyondgreatness.org.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I'd like to call on Vice Chair Megan Sperry and Legislator Herb Litz, Chair and Deputy Chair of the Legislature's Standing Committee on Economic Development, Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture, to present Ms. Knox Eileen with the Pride of Ulster County Award. Thank you, and congratulations. Thank you for your hard work.
You're quite welcome.
I'd like to call on Vice Chair Sperry to take my seat here at the dais. Honorable members of the Ulster County Legislature, Majority Leader Uchitel, Minority Leader Roberts, esteemed guests, and community members, I stand before you today honored and humbled by the trust you have placed in me as your newly elected chair. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the hard work the legislatures in the past session have done. They passed ambitious legislation that will have long-term positive impact on Ulster County. I especially want to thank Chair Bartels for her leadership, as well as Majority Leader Heppner and Minority Leader Ronk. I welcome back returning legislators and note that with this upcoming session, we have more new legislators than ever before in the history of the Ulster County Legislature. I also want to recognize some other historic firsts. Three women now chair committees, marking a significant milestone in gender representation. Our body is more racially diverse than ever before. Additionally, the Minority Caucus now chairs three committees. And for the first time in Ulster County history, an openly gay person holds the role of chair. These milestones underscore our dedication to equitable representation and progress and reflect the diversity of our county. At this moment, the continuation of a long journey, we have the chance to examine the way we govern and the opportunity to influence the narrative on how politics are done in Ulster County. Our primary focus must remain steadfast, our constituents, and the delivery of exemplary community services. Let us keep our eyes on the ball, recognizing that every decision we make, every action we take, must serve the greater good of those we represent. As we navigate the road ahead, I see two possible paths, the path of collaboration or the path of altercation. The former leads to a future where we work in partnership with elected officials, the county executive, comptroller, district attorney, sheriff, town supervisors, and village and city mayors, as well as with our dedicated county staff. It's a path illuminated by principles of respect, cooperation, and mutual understanding. Conversely, the latter path, characterized by discord and division, serves only to hinder our county's progress and to obstruct its prosperity. Our task is clear: to strengthen our already robust check and balances system that fosters governmental transparency, accountability, and effectiveness. We've been presented with an opportunity to do government differently, to transcend the divisiveness that plagues our politics, and to come together around the table. Let's listen to each other's visions, identify our common challenges, and collaboratively forge solutions that can benefit everyone. At the end of this year, I want our constituents to see us as a legislature that creates not problems, but solutions. This will require us to engage in difficult discussions, but with a spirit of mutual respect, collaboration, and dignity. Together, we can find common ground on many of the key issues facing our county, from infrastructure to healthcare, from housing to climate solutions, from transportation to economic development. As we begin our year, I am eager to collaborate with both Majority Leader Uchitel and Minority Leader Roberts on advancing projects that have a positive impact on our community. There are common sense solutions to many of our toughest challenges, but we can only reach them when we work together, transcending the gridlock and partisanship that plague modern politics. I want to assure you that I am committed to upholding the principles of fairness and accountability within our legislative process. Should I become aware of any action that deviates from these principles, I will take decisive steps to address the situation. My commitment lies not in serving any individual agenda, but rather in safeguarding the health and well-being of this legislative body and each individual member. I've already initiated structural changes aimed at enhancing communication and streamlining our processes, working closely with County Executive Metzger and her deputies, as well as with Clerk Fabella. We have revised the resolution deadline schedule to allow legislators more time to review resolutions and pose questions to deputies before committee meetings. Additionally, I've collaborated with the clerk to move committee meetings away from session days, creating a less stressful environment for both staff and legislators. Furthermore, I've worked with Amanda Norton, my new confidential secretary, to develop a committee action report, which you all received, that provides a comprehensive summary of all committee meetings and resolutions. Your feedback on this initiative is crucial to ensure its effectiveness. As a legislature, we face many critical challenges, including finding long-term solutions to solid waste management, creating supportive and affordable housing, addressing mental health initiatives, shoring up aging infrastructure and sustainable fleet management practices, and examining salary equity within the county workforce. However, alongside these challenges, we also embrace significant opportunities, such as building the critically needed Government Operations Center, opening the Crisis Stabilization Center, and developing a Workforce Development Center. Additionally, completing the ARPA projects, supporting our ever-growing tourism industry, and implementing the upcoming Arts and Culture Master Plan present opportunities to enrich our community and foster economic growth. I invite each of you to join me in these endeavors. Let us communicate openly and keep our doors perpetually ajar. Let me be clear. I'm human and new to the job, and I will make mistakes. but I promise to approach every decision with humility, patience, openness, generosity, and strength. Channeling empathy and compassion, we can build bridges over our divisions, fostering goodwill and understanding among us all. Together, we possess the power to shape the future of Ulster County, to create a community that thrives on inclusivity, resilience, and progress. Let's seize this moment, united in purpose and unwavering in our commitment to serve. Thank you. At this time, we will move into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
We do not have anyone signed up.
Is there anybody in attendance this evening that would like to speak on any of the resolutions that are in front of the legislature this evening? Calling again. And calling a third time. Seeing no one, I'm going to move us along. We are going to move into consent and non-consent agenda now. Majority Leader Uchtdal, is there anything moving in or out of consent?
We'd like to move into consent resolution 20, 21, 22, 57, 59, and 68. And moving out of consent into non-consent, we'd like to move resolutions 11 and 73.
Deputy Minority Leader Lopez.
Without objection.
Thank you. On the consent agenda.
On the consent agenda, we are a short yes.
On the consent agenda, we are a short yes with one abstention, Legislator Litch, for reasons of employment.
Do you have an abstention on 21, too?
Oh, 21 as well. That is Legislator Kovacs for the purpose of employment.
The consent agenda is adopted 22-0 with the exception of Resolution 21, which is adopted 21-0 with one abstention, Legislator Kovacs, and Resolution 55 is adopted 21-0 with one abstention, Legislator Litz.
Thank you. We are now going to move on to the non-consent agenda.
The first resolution in non-consent tonight is Resolution 8, confirming reappointment to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Legislator Maloney.
Yep. It didn't matter what reappointment was up. I just think it's long overdue that we start putting some ex-legislators on this board, no matter the revolving door of highly intelligent individuals that know something about the environment, solid waste, recycling. For years and years and years, we cycle them in, and we get the same results. I think we had an opportunity with Tracy and Laura leaving where we could have got somebody on there that really could have been a liaison, that really understood the problems that are going on over there and understood what we really needed out of them. And I think this was our first opportunity, and we kind of quickly just reappointed, and I think we'll quickly get the same results over there.
Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the legislator for the town of Ulster, the host community for the RRA, I would like to be heard on this resolution. Mr. Obiezewski has served on the board of the RRA last year. He's a town resident, and he attends the Town of Ulster Town Board meetings, where I've gotten to know him over the last 5 years. He has frequently speaks during public comment, frequently criticizes the town supervisor and the town attorney even. And I say this as a positive. He is a gentleman who is he's free to speak his mind. He's very knowledgeable. He's not afraid to stand up and have an opinion that might differ with others in the room. He's exactly the kind of person we need on the RRA board. He's going to do the hard work of looking at the financial records, the policies, the procedures. I am confident that he's going to work well with the new executive director. And we need more individuals like Mr. Obojeski on all of our volunteer boards of directors. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Legislator Kovacs' comments and extend them by saying that the RRA board, UCRRA board, has recognized Mr. Obojeski as a leader, and that this is an important time of transition when having a welcomed leader is really very helpful to the board.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
I don't doubt the intelligence, the integrity, the willingness to challenge the status quo and be on the record with making uncomfortable critiques. I dig all that, believe me. But I will say that just a couple months ago, first meeting, we had two new board members. There was a report from a possibly conflicted law firm about the then director. First meeting, there for 2 minutes, didn't abstain, actually voted on the termination of the then director. That's what I mean. You get Dave Donaldson, you get Laura Petit, you get Tracy Bartels, you get a Hector Rodriguez, you get somebody in there, a former legislator that really knows what's going on over there. They would not have let that vote continue. There is a lack of experience that just about anybody we put on that board, but somebody that's been in this seat right here just doesn't have, and we desperately need it over there. And this was the first chance. Didn't matter what name I saw. If it wasn't one of those few names I just mentioned, I think we're going to get the same results, and votes like that are going to continue to happen unless you get a select few people that really, really understand the complexities of what is going on and what is going on over there for 20, 25 years and how we've gotten to the point we've gotten to.
Any other comments? Yes, Legislator Harmon.
I have a question, really, a point of clarification. Were any of those legislators who were leaving the legislature, were they did they express interest in the appointment? And what's the situation with other vacancies? I mean, approving one does not determine the entirety of the board.
Yes, I'll allow that. We're gonna get in that funny territory of questions through the chair. But since that was a direct question, I will definitely let you answer that.
I believe several of us legislators have had conversations, and had any of those legislators been tapped, I think they all would have been happy to serve. Whether or not they were even aware they needed to apply this quickly, I'm not sure. This happened kind of quick, but I know for a fact, discussing it, and others have, with Laura Petit, she would have been guns a-blazing to get on there. And I think the next appointment, Manor, you could probably tell, do we have another 6 months, or is it the beginning of next term? When would our next crack at this be?
We can get back to you with that information and let everybody know when the next appointment will be. Well, I'll get that to you at ASAP. Legislator Green. Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
I think Legislator Maloney makes a great point, and I'm looking forward to former legislators applying for vacant positions. Since Mr. Obojeski has been appointed, he's been in touch with me twice as Chair of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability, and I think he's going to be a great chair. He was appointed Chair of RRA Board, and I will make sure I keep you all posted on progress this year.
Thank you. And Legislator Stewart.
I was going to say I find myself in kind of the strange position of agreeing with everyone that has spoken thus far. I totally understand Legislator Maloney's concerns and desire to have a former legislator like Legislator Petit on that board. I think she would be awesome. I also think that Mr. Obojeski, I've heard nothing, is doing a great job. And although he's just obviously, taken this new position. He's only been on the board for 6 months, but in that six-month period, I've literally heard nothing but good stuff about him. And based on a conversation that I had with him personally, I have great confidence in him, and he has a very interesting background, extremely varied background, and I think he will do right by the agency and by Ulster County. And so I do have full confidence in Mr. Obojeski, and forgive me if I butchered his last name. but like I say, I agree with Legislator Nolan that I would love to see with Legislator Maloney that I would love to see a former legislator on that board moving forward in the future.
Thank you very much. On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
We are a short yes with one no, Legislator Roberts.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The next resolution is a bond resolution, resolution number 10. Authorizing the replacement of the elevator facilities at the DeWitt Library at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $2 million and authorizing the issuance of $2 million bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton. Yes. Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hanset.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
You're on mute, sir.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution was taken from consent and moved to non-consent, and that is Resolution 11, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into intermunicipal agreements with various municipalities for the operation of the Summer Youth Employment Program, Gun Violence Prevention Initiative, Youth Employment Program, Brighter Futures Initiative, and the Young Adult Employment Program, Office of Employment and Training.
Legislator Maloney.
I'm going to be a yes, but there is a gun violence prevention initiative in there that I want to look into a little more. I just found a grant that a Samadhi organization received that does a lot of quoting of involvement from Ulster County officials, and I'd love to know more about that. So I don't have enough information right now, but I want to put everybody on notice that I think we need to dive into that organization in every way, including this $430,000 grant they apparently received that has everything to do with our sheriff, our attorney's office, our DA, I believe the executive branch of government, and I don't think any of us have heard a heck of a lot about it, and their performance with opioids has me really needing to take a look at any relationship we have with this organization.
Any other comments? On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Or a short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution is resolution number 12, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $63,495 entered into by the county, the Offset House, Inc., doing business as Catamount Color, Department of Tourism.
Legislator Hewitt.
I would just like to thank Director Lisa Berger for getting better every year on our values around printing. 2 years ago, she helped switch to soy inks instead of petroleum inks, and now they're using 100% recycled paper for the full publication. So thank you, Director Berger.
Any other comments on the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following no's, Legislators Gavaris and Maloney.
A short yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The next resolution is number 19, amending capital project number 598, ARPA, Community Wellness Hub, Crisis Stabilization Center Renovation, City of Kingston, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one abstention, Legislator Nolan, for purposes of volunteer.
We're a short yes with one no, Legislator Roberts.
The resolution is adopted 20-1 with one abstention, Legislator Nolan. Resolutions 20 and 21 were moved, and 22 were moved to consent. Resolution 23, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget to include the transfer of 2023 opioid settlement funding not expended in 2023, Department of Mental Health.
On the resolution, Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, I'm going to be a statement no on a couple of these, and I have serious concerns that I believe everybody knows about to a certain point. But we've been giving money to an organization that turns around and hands out crack pipes and snorting kits, and we can have the debate on whether or not harm reduction is really reducing harm. But this goes further than that, because talking to current and former employees there, we have some serious issues. We have drugs being supplied by employees, literally sharing their drugs with people that are there to get help. We have employees that are on drugs and under the influence and sometimes even unconscious as people walk in to get help. We have employees supplying drugs to other employees and dying. Why this isn't being investigated properly, or we don't know about the investigation, I don't know why. I know for a fact I'm not the only person that knows about this. We also have a policy with this organization that when there's an overdose, the employees are told to give Narcan and then not contact health care and first responders, but to first contact upper management and then decide what to do. We have a failed audit with massive amounts of cash withdrawals from ATMs that they can't explain. I want to know, are drugs being bought with our tax dollars or with other donated tax dollars or other government tax dollars? I am very comfortable saying what I'm saying right now because the number of whistleblowers, the number of people that have gone looking for help to this facility, these things are true. These things are true. For years, I have come to this body with issues, and I've gone on the record. And so far, I got a pretty good track record exposing problems in this county. This is a major, major problem. And there are wonderful organizations out there that we can give our money to that are going to help people get away from their addiction, not contribute to it. And I know there's people here that are invested in it. I know there's people here that are on the board. I know there's people here that have been invited in as keynote speakers to open up facilities. And that may be hard for you to take a good, honest look at what's going on here. But we need to, and it's hard, and who wants to be the one up here saying that the words harm reduction aren't necessarily good, but we have to. We really have to, because there are people dying, and there are people that we have people at our jail requesting not to go here because they don't want to be, they're clean, and they don't want to get back on drugs. It's just crazy the amount of people that I have talked to, the amount that is out there about how this organization is being run and operating, and how many people that have the power to do something keep their head in the sand as those people that are struggling end up at this facility to the point where we have a lease, we've given them a ton of money over other organizations, and it just needs to be. There's so many aspects of this organization that need to be investigated, and I'm just at a loss that we've gotten this far into this, and it still seems as though we just want to look the other way.
Majority Leader Ushito.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. As chair of the Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee, I have seen countless conversations about this organization and about harm reduction and about the State Office of Addiction Services. And these conversations are centered around data that shows the lives that have been saved. When we have had issues with our contract providers in the past, we have received evidence about the things that are happening. We've had issues even when we had an issue a few years ago with this provider. It was dealt with, and we had people reaching out to us. That's not what's happening right now. We don't have people reaching out to us. If there's evidence that substantiate these claims about all the drug use and everything that we're hearing in the previous speaker's comments, I've not seen that. So my plea as chair of the Health Committee is to provide evidence to the Health Committee that supports these claims. We've not seen it, right? To decide to stop supporting an agency that is bringing us data for work that the state is providing us with data on would be pretty, it would be not wise to do that without data. It probably wouldn't be wise to report on these allegations without data. I hope that if this stuff is reported, that it's reported with data. And I hope that that data and that evidence makes its way to the Health Committee because we've not seen it yet. I want to be clear about that. Besides a press release that was sent out and comments like the ones that we just heard, no actual evidence of these claims has been provided to the Health Committee regarding any of these allegations around addiction and drug use. So we need to have a conversation that's based on information and data, and I encourage everyone who's concerned about this to provide that information. If they are, hearing reports, provide those reports so we can have a substantive conversation. But unfortunately, we've not been put in a position to actually have a substantive conversation because we've been only presented with unsubstantiated claims.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. I think this is a very important discussion, and from what I've seen, this body is supportive of Samadhi. Addiction recovery is a very difficult subject, and it's mostly because people are desperate when they come to a place like Samadhi. They're often at the end of their rope, and I was desperate 4 years ago when I went to Samadhi for alcohol recovery. And it's been almost 4 years since I've had a drink. And alcohol almost destroyed me and my life. I lied to everybody at that time, including myself, and the one person I didn't lie to was my therapist at Samadhi. He gave me the freedom and the comfort to continue to screw up and mess up my own life, but he still didn't judge me, and that allowed me to not lie to him. And so over time, because of harm reduction, I was able to recover, and it's important to have organizations like that in our county. Thank you, Chair.
Legislator Collins.
Samadhi is not part of this particular resolution. I'm not sure why it's the topic we're having here, other than it's grandstanding against an organization that is doing, in my opinion, good work within the county. Harm reduction has been proven to be the best approach to opiate addiction. It's the one that has statistically the best results. It's the one that has data behind it that supports its approach to harm to opiate addiction. We have to continue to understand that we have to base our what we're doing on data, not unsubstantiated opinion and thought. So I definitely support this motion. I support the fact that that we're using the money from last year's for this year's budget, which is what the motion's about. It's not about attacking somebody. It's about moving money from last year's budget to this year's budget. So I think we should just end this discussion, approve this, and move forward.
Legislator Maloney.
You just saw a lot of legislators that have relationships with Samadhi get up and immediately defend them. There is a lot of talk about data. We talk in qualitative or quantitative. But there are people here in this room that employees have gone to, and it hasn't gone anywhere. the powers that be know about this. They've been talked to, and this will come out. There are people that are sick and tired of it, employees there that can't do it anymore, employees that have quit after going to upper management, after talking to people in this room. I was told by one current employee that somebody in this room is a protector of the top person there at Samadhi. I know for a fact that elected officials in Saugerties on the town level have gone and complained and talked to the individuals that run the place and were very dissatisfied at what they got back. I know there are groups in the community that live around every Samadhi place that have all these same issues. After that article came out the other day, I continue to get even more whistleblowers calling me. These things are going to come out, and I'm happy that my colleagues are on the record now, just knee-jerk immediately defending, because you're all going to be exposed as defending an organization that is doing a lot of harm in this community. And this kind of conversation doesn't happen enough on every single level in this country. We just have a bunch of politicians and appointees that just want to go with the establishment, go with the nice sounding words, and not stand up and take the arrows that it's going to take to expose the kinds of things that are going on here. But thank you. Thank you for standing up and putting your name to it, because as these things come out, I'm going to be asking you to publicly answer for what is really going on with this organization.
Majority Leader, you should tell for a second time.
Thank you so much. Just in case the prior comment was in reference to me, I'll just clarify. I have no relationship with Samadhi, except that I've been chairing the Health Committee for multiple years, and that requires us to work with them. I don't know if that was a reference to me, but I figured I would clear that error. Qualitative, quantitative, right? So I have studied data methods in college. It was part of my degree in political science. I understand qualitative. I understand quantitative. This is neither of those. There's a third kind of data. It's called anecdotal data. This isn't even that. This is hearsay, right? Anecdotal data is when you go to someone and they give you a firsthand account of what's happening. This isn't that. This is hearsay. My prior comments, just to clarify for everyone who's listening, my prior comments were not a knee-jerk defense of the organization. They were a plea for evidence to substantiate these claims. So let me be clear. If there is substance to these claims, my comments are to please provide the substance. My email address, my phone number, all of this can be found on the county website. It says right under my name that I chair the Health Committee. I find it interesting that the folks in the community that are reaching out to supposedly blow the whistle are only reaching out to the person who's doing all the press outreach and not to the person who's overseeing the committee that actually deals with this topic. They must be more interested in the newspaper headlines as well. But I'm interested in solving the problems that are being described here, if in fact they do exist. Thank you.
Legislator Collins for a second time.
I'm going to echo what Legislator Ustitella said. My name is available. My phone number is available. My email is available. I am on the Health Committee. If there's issues with this organization, please let me know, and I will deal with that. I've heard nothing from anybody. I have no relationship with Samadhi either, zero relationship with Samadhi, other than understanding what they do and understanding the facts and the data behind harm reduction and what it's done throughout the nation and throughout our community. And lastly, I want to read the resolution. Resolved that the 2024 Ulster County operating budget is hereby amended as follows, with data behind it. Samadhi is not in the resolution. This is not about Samadhi, this resolution. It's about moving money from the 2023 budget to 2024 budget.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following no. Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 1. Resolution 24, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget to accept opioid settlement funding through the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports and authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to an agreement with the City of Kingston Department of Mental Health.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are short yes with the following no. Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 1. Resolution 27, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports Department of Mental Health.
Legislator Maloney.
Just in closing, nothing moves the wheels of justice like public outcry, and I have no faith in the sixth floor getting to the bottom of this. Many people here have heard and know plenty of the issues with the organization, and it was an opportunity over the last couple of weeks that I've taken, both now and in a press release, and the proof is in the pudding, because leadership in this legislature would only comment on letterhead rather than what the minority leader and I were concerned about, and that's life and death. But it became a letterhead debate about what a reporter would see as a letterhead in an email. Sad, but that's why I'm doing it, because I actually care and I want something to be done. And I know how this county works. I know how government works. We don't do anything. We cover it up. We look the other way. We put a Band-Aid on it, and we keep on going. But this cannot keep on going. And I'll take all your arrows as I expose what's actually going on there.
Legislator Collins.
If someone wants to take action, they take action by talking to people who can make that action happen. If someone wants publicity, they go to the press. What happened here was someone went to the press instead of taking action. If a legislator wants to take action, they talk to the agencies, they talk to the people, they talk to the committees that are working on that action. That was not done. It went straight to the press.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
With all due respect, nobody has anything, knows who I've talked to and how many months I've talked to people and how many elected officials I've talked to, how many appointees I've talked to. And I'll put my record of getting things done up in this county, saving money, exposing, changing course, changing path up against any legislator now or prior. And this is going to be another example of that. Things are going to change with who we fund and how we go about opioid addiction in this county. And you can sit back and watch how things are done over the next couple of months.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are short yes with the following no. Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-0. Resolution 38, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number one of 20.
Can we have the vote count on that again?
24. On resolution 27, 21 to 1. 21-1. Okay. Legislator Maloney is the no. Resolution 38, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2024, a local law amending Article 3, Hotel Motel Occupancy Tax of the Code of the County of Ulster in relation to determination of taxable rent to be held on Tuesday, March 19, 2024 at 7 p.m.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, this is my resolution, so obviously I'll be a yes. I originally put in the resolution to raise the bed tax years ago when it got kicked back from the state. My intent was to put this amendment on that, but my name wasn't on the next resolution. We debated this a month or two ago, and I was told, who cares who gets the credit? It wasn't about the credit. It was about the ability for me to pull my bed tax resolution had this amendment not been part of it. I didn't have that right because my name wasn't on it, because other names were put on it when it got back from the state. So I put this in. I was asked to throw an amendment in there, which I did the other day, that apparently, to my surprise, there's a working group that was put together that I wasn't invited to and other legislators weren't invited to or even know about. Five handpicked legislators got together in secret away from the public and discussed multiple resolutions of mine that I wasn't allowed or invited to the meeting. When I was told that there's a word or two that was changed in an amendment that may strengthen and deter a hotel or motel away from abusing this language, I said, sure, let's throw it in there. But I'd much prefer to do this in standing committee meetings in the public where all legislators are invited, where that media that we don't want to talk to very often is invited. The media equals the people to me, so I do appreciate the media being there and knowing about things, because the 200,000 people that live in this county deserve to know what we're doing. It's called transparency. But I'll be a yes on this.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Legislator Maloney for having the foresight to put in a resolution to hold a public hearing on a draft law. And I would just say that I appreciate that the chair on forming the working committee that was going to address this sent around a notice to the entire legislature, and there was every opportunity for any legislator who wanted to participate to participate. So I think that the working group has created a draft law with amendments to what was submitted by Legislator Maloney with his agreement that those amendments improve it. And so I hope that we can get focused on the content of the law, which I think addresses a disparity in our many decades of taxation of the very largest all-inclusive venues in this county. And so I welcome the public to look at the law and for people to come to the public hearing, assuming we do approve this tonight, and that we can all dig in and see if the working group has done work that we can approve and address what looks to the working group to have been an inequity. So appreciate all the work of all the legislators coming at it from different perspectives.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 43, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $21,418.52, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Axon Enterprise, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate a couple of points I made in the Law Enforcement Committee recently. I think that the way we purchase is very important, and that's why I'm proud that we have a best value procurement policy in our county. Unfortunately, that policy didn't prevent us from contracting with a company that creates weapons of war. Axon, formerly Taser, creates shock grenades that destroy human organs, and I think this is an example of this is the way it's always done because of the way we've gotten body cameras in the past and because of the way we contract with RFPs and the way we work with companies. We just work with companies that are sometimes not good for the world. So I no longer bank with any of the banks that were bailed out in 2008 because they were irresponsible and got $4 trillion for being irresponsible. And one of my family members said, "Get over it, Chris." But I'm not getting over it. Those are irresponsible companies, and I'm only going to be banking with local companies for the rest of my life. And I wish we actually thought more about the companies we contract with. So although I think it's important for this to pass so that our sheriffs can have important body cameras, I'm a no because I don't support Axon. Thank you.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following no's, Legislators McCullough and Hewitt.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. 57 was moved to consent, and 58 is the bond resolution for it, authorizing the issuance of $2,200,340 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay the cost of UCAT fleet replacement in and for said county. Clinton. Yes. Collins. Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls. The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 59 was also moved to consent, and 60 is the bond resolution for it, authorizing the issuance of $500,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay the cost of the purchase of rolling stock in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 62, another bond resolution, authorizing the guide rail replacement program throughout and in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $150,000, and authorizing the issuance of $150,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Bond resolution number 64, authorizing improvements to bridges for flag response throughout and in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $115,763, and authorizing the issuance of $115,763 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green. Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Our final bond resolution of the night is number 66, authorizing the 2024-2029 DPW Bridge Program in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $913,000, and authorizing the issuance of $913,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
Yes.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
And Walz?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 68 was moved to consent. And resolution 73 was pulled out of consent and moved to non-consent. And resolution 73 is confirming the appointment of Kenneth J. Juris as director of budget.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, years ago, the comptroller, former comptroller, got a lot of heat because he made his deputy a lawyer several times in a row, and there were a lot of legislators that really felt like the comptroller's office would function better with a CPA or a financial staff. I think we've now seen a better functioning comptroller's office. I think you could make the argument it has something to do with a really talented CPA that has been the deputy there. I think we need a CPA or at the very least somebody with financial degrees in this position. I think we just closed out our 2022 budget. We moved that person over there to be the head of finance. I'm not always real impressed by what I hear. I think there's probably some other positions in this county better suited. But at the end of the day, this is what I believe we're supposed to be doing, saying the tough things, making the tough votes. And I just couldn't vote for anybody that wasn't, at the very least, have a financial degree. But specifically, we should have a CPA in this position without a doubt. And we don't. We don't have a lot of even a financial degree there, so I'll be the bad guy and point it out.
Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is an excellent merit-based appointment by the county executive. I've known Mr. Juris for a few years. He's worked in the finance department. He was at SUNY Ulster. He came back here a couple of years ago. He's been acting commissioner of finance in the aftermath of the Bergonek debacle. So this is a solid appointment. I have trust in him that he's going to do the right thing, and I think it's a real he'll be a real asset to the county.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution 76, approving the execution of a contract for $122,027.56, entered into by the County Granicus LLC, Department of Finance.
On the Legislator Novak or Kovacs.
Thank you. When I was at Ways and Means Committee, I brought this to the attention of the committee. I have a municipal client outside Ulster County that has contracted with Granicus. They've had a negative experience with training, with onboarding, with customer support. So I'm not 100% confident that this outfit is going to do the right thing for us, and I just want to bring that to the floor.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The last resolution of the evening is 81, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget to appropriate ARPA funding to the Village of Ellenville to sustain governmental services threatened by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes, Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the time. I had a lot to say about this, but I'm going to start off with the words from my colleague, Majority Leader Uchitel, when he was talking about Resolution 23. He said he wanted to see the data, and I could appreciate that, Abe. I'd like to see the data on this resolution. It first caught my eye when it was in front of the ARPA committee. Every other resolution in front of the committee had a lot of backup. This resolution had none. At one point, I did make a phone call to the mayor of Ellenville, a bright young man with a great future, sounds like. He's got thrown into a tough position. He did tell me his plan and what they're facing. They're about 1.1 million short, give or take. He has made some concessions with his police union and public works to cut off overtime. But in order for this to work, they have to borrow from what they call a mountain reserve fund, and that for $500,000, that has to pass a referendum. A big if. Then they have to borrow money from M&T Bank for a tax anticipation note for $600,000. And this would, the 1.78 would get them close to the top. There's a lot of ifs in this program or in this scheme that we have going on. What about next year? It doesn't seem to me that this is a plan that's going to work out long term. We should have came up with a solution to help Ellenville out financially and made the decisions to possibly consolidate with the town of Worthing. We could have loaned them the money instead of just giving them. Those are the last crumbs out of the ARPA fund we're giving away. We could have also proportionally taken out of our surplus, to be fair, given each town proportionally $178,000, give or take, depending on the population. Thank you again, Mr. Chair.
Legislator Green and then Legislator Maloney.
Just a question. It's my understanding that part of the reason to do this is that money that the county would have provided to Ellenville to make them whole under an existing agreement with the villages, that money is not going to be available. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're considering using ARPA funds. And I just want to get clarification, because Legislator Roberts was concerned about next year, but I think that those funds will be available. And in the meantime, I agree that we really collectively, Ellenville needs to, but collectively anyway, we can help them become financially stable. But I would just like to get clarity on that question, please.
Legislator Maloney? I don't know who you're asking, Legislator Green, and I'm not sure how to get you that, so I can call on Legislator Guevara to actually clarify that for you, Legislator Green. Maloney, Legislator Maloney, will you? Thank you.
Yeah, what Legislator Green is referring to is the making of the village whole. That will not take effect until January of 2025, which is what Legislator Green was referring to.
Thank you for that clarification. Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, I think February of 25, which is one of the reasons I always heard that, going back to the Hine administration, that they wouldn't allow us to enter into that agreement for the villages is because of what a mess Ellenville was. This goes back many years. I wouldn't speak as strongly as my colleague, minority leader, call it a scheme, but because I don't think it's a scheme. I think it's a very poorly managed village, and I think it's a stretch to use ARPA funds. I think it's a real stretch to use ARPA funds. I think we're telling all the other towns and villages that have made sacrifices through the years and run themselves better. I don't like the message it sends there. I think Kevin makes a good point. We could have done something where we could have done something for all the towns, and I just haven't seen anything. I would have liked to see Ellenville come to us with more of a plan going into the future. There's other, I think there's something with the court. They moved the court and lost revenue there. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of consolidations. I think the village needs to be dissolved. From what I hear, the town is in pretty good financial situation. So why it comes to us to bail them out. And I just don't see where going into the future much is going to change with this village. I'm disappointed that we didn't have more backup and we didn't have more of a plan. I would have liked to see a special meeting and sit down with them, and they probably need our help more even with logistics. I don't think they pay enough to have a qualified treasurer or accounting individual there. I think they should have come to us not just looking for this money, but looking for actual help figuring out how to get themselves back on their feet and to quickly consolidate everywhere they can and eventually dissolve the existence of a village there. They didn't do any of that. We're kind of just handing them this money, which sends a terrible message and might be wasted money when they're in where they don't even get to a point where they're out of this hole. So I'm torn on this. I suppose I'll be a yes, but a very disappointed yes.
Deputy Minority Leader Lopez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, share some concerns that are raised tonight, but my concerns have to do with the process as well. I was wondering if I can ask a question through you to the clerk of our ARPA committee regarding the process and that has to do with the surveys that we take prior to any proposal. And I was wondering if we had an opportunity to take that survey in our last committee meeting.
I'm going to find out if that's appropriate for me to do. Clerk Feaster, I will ask you, I will ask you to answer the question, please. The answer is no, sir.
Would you agree that again, just to follow up on that answer, would you agree that every proposal that requests ARPA funding was subject to a rubric survey as part of the vetting process and committee?
Who are you asking that question to, sir?
That would be to the Ms. Feaster as well. Yeah, I would be asking these questions to Legislator Carpenter, but he's not here. So
right.
Perhaps I can ask the deputy chair of the committee instead?
Deputy chair of the committee, yes. Oh, that would be Vice Chair Sperry.
So we have new leadership in the ARPA committee, and the new chair of the committee hasn't instituted using the rubric. So that's definitely a conversation that we can have. But that's not up to me. That's up to the chair.
And would you be able to give a brief description of what the rubric survey is and the principles behind it? Or perhaps, Mr. Chairman, as the former chair, would you be able to provide that information?
I'd be happy to provide that to you, but I'm not going to explain it all right now. But I would be happy to provide that information to you. I will send that to you, the rubric itself, and the reasoning behind that. Happy to send that to you. I think you know it as well because you actually served on that committee as well, sir.
I do, and the reason why I ask is because I don't know why this resolution wasn't subject to the same survey as every other proposal that went through the ARPA committee. Because I know, personally, a lot of my decisions to support the proposals that went through the ARPA committee were the result of the results of that rubric. And not having the opportunity to survey this proposal, I think, serves an injustice to not just the committee, but the taxpayers who are going to be paying the bill. For this request. So it's for that reason that I would like to make I would like to send this back to committee for an opportunity to do that, conduct that survey, and give the committee an opportunity to weigh in whether we should go forward with this.
So we need a motion to refer that. What I hear is there's
yeah,
a motion.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
And there's a second. Okay, so on the motion.
On the motion to refer.
Correct.
Yeah, this funding, for it to be effective, needs to happen now. And so the idea of referring this back is really, it takes away the ability of this funding to actually achieve its purpose of helping bridge a crisis for a village in our county, town and village, I guess. To go to the substance a little bit, but I think it's relevant to the referral, is that this request fits squarely within the ARPA guidelines. It's actually almost language from the ARPA mission to provide this kind of relief for a town that's been really battered by COVID and the COVID years. And this funding provides the opportunity to help this village stabilize and be able to recover. I believe if it went through the rubric, it would score phenomenally high. It's all the census tracts that are some of the most disadvantaged financially in the county, and they're suffering. So, yes, you can ask for all of this, but this is a crisis situation, and I think that this demands a crisis response, not why didn't you follow procedure. We didn't follow procedure because this is urgent.
Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to speak for the normal part of the resolution, but it's on the referral. Legislator Nolan's 100% right. This is a timing issue. I'm not familiar with this rubric, so I apologize. In terms of qualifying, Ellenville is a qualified census tract. There's 28.1% poverty level there. To qualify, you have to be above 25%. That's 1.5 times the city of Kingston. This is strictly a timing issue. There is about 2.5 to 3 weeks worth of cash on hand for Ellenville. And let me just be clear. Ellenville is not an entity. Ellenville is the residents of the village of Ellenville. That is both the employees who work there, but it's the residents who receive the services. We're talking about police coverage, both the employees who provide police service, but also the residents who need that service provided to them. This is also water and sewer. So imagine for those who don't have wells, turning on your faucet and either not water not coming out or water that's not potable because it hasn't been treated, not having sewer. I mean, road, the street department. You know, this, we just had a snowstorm. The street department was out there. They are about 2.5 weeks. Now, we can talk about how they got there and what led up to this. I 100% agree. I wish there was another way to do this, but unfortunately, this has been came to light about 4 weeks ago that the village was in this kind of trouble, and ever since then, I have been working with people in the exec's office, with our county attorney, with our finance team, with our finance team in the legislature, everybody. We've been putting our heads together and trying to find a solution, and so far, without exception, this has been the only solution. And just let me say this. This is a short-term solution. This is just to get to the point, as Legislator Roberts pointed out, the mountain money, which the vote for that is supposed to be the first week of March. This is enough money to sustain the village till they can get to that point to get access to the $500,000, which will then get them a little further along to get money for the tax anticipation note from the M&T Bank, which will get them to the end of this fiscal year. There are longer-term solutions that are going to have to be put into place. The county exec and her team have all agreed to help. I know our staff has also agreed to help. Everybody is working together, but again, this is for the residents of Ellenville, which are also Ulster County residents. In terms of the, you know, again, I'm not going to speak anymore on that because the rest of it is related to the resolution itself.
I see Legislator Collins, and I want to remind everybody we are talking right now about a referral back to committee.
I want to echo the last two speakers that this is an emergency resolution. We need to do this now. We can't wait for a month there to do this. I would like to ask through the chair what would happen, whoever knows the answer, what would happen to the inhabitants of Ellenville if we did not pass this? And I think the previous speaker, Legislator Gavaris, mentioned a little bit about that, but I think if we could emphasize that that's what we're trying to do here is prevent harm and damage to the inhabitants of the village of Ellenville. Thank you.
So we have a motion on the table and a second to refer this back to committee. And, oh, I'm sorry, Minority Leader Roberts, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, thank you. On the referral, as to my colleague Legislator Nolan's point that they're in dire straits and they need the money now, you know, we don't know that for a fact. I'd love to take the word of the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, but we haven't seen any data. We haven't seen any spreadsheets about what's going on with their finances. Last Thursday, Chairman Gavaris said they're 2 to 3 weeks out. A week later, they're still 2 to 3 weeks out. You know, we don't know any of this details for a fact. And I can tell you, too, that the Village of Ellenville received $411,000 separately of COVID money, of ARPA money from the federal government. Where is that money? What did they spend it on? We don't know.
Legislator Maloney.
They also got $100,000 to fix up a park as well about a month ago, so I'm not sure where that money is either or how they're fixing up parks if they can't. To kick it back to committee, I would just like to say as far as that rubric or the matrix goes, I had pointed out a year or two ago that the lowest score that matrix ever received in ARPA ended up passing the ARPA committee unanimously. So I'm not sure what the hell that matrix was doing much anyways. I think it's a powerful point Craig's making that we're outside of our proper procedures, but I'm not sure that rubric had ever done anything because when the lowest score passes unanimously, I think it's time to throw it in the recycling bin at that point. But a lot of fair points from the minority caucus, and I think this should have been done a lot differently. I'm also shocked that there's not a mechanism for the state to step in. I'm sure municipalities have had similar experiences through the years, and it surprises me that there isn't a quick mechanism, and I've heard no mention of the state as well. If this debate goes on any longer, I'm probably going to change my vote, but for now, I'm a no to kick it back to committee, especially for those reasons, because I had no respect for that rubric or matrix or whatever it was anyways.
Okay, on the motion to refer it back to committee.
So on the motion, our caucus was going to be a short yes on the actual resolution. So I'm assuming we're going to be a short no on the motion to refer it back. And I'm not seeing any hands go up. So I'm going to have us as a short no on the motion to refer.
We are a short yes with the following no's, Walls and Hansett. On the referral.
So the motion to refer the resolution is defeated 5-17.
And on the resolution? Oh, sorry, I saw two hands. Deputy Minority Leader Lopez and then Legislator Gavaris.
I'm not necessarily against the substance or the need or the urgency of this. I'm against the process in which it's happening. I think there should be more transparency, and, you know, this body always talks about setting precedent and abiding by precedent, and this, you know, flies in the face of, you know, that the virtue that everybody uses when it comes to, you know, following precedent. So, you know, if we make exceptions for something like this, then, you know, we're going to have to make more exceptions further down the road. So, you know, based on that and based on, you know, the fact that I'm against the process of this and would like to see a more transparent way moving forward, I'm going to be a no.
I have Legislator Gavaris and then Legislator Kitchen and then Legislator Litz.
I'll yield to them.
Legislator Kitchen.
Yes. My question is, I was sure that the town of Ellenville must have an audit done every year of their finances according to the state comptroller's office. And I just don't understand how this has just come about in the last 4 weeks and nobody saw the train heading down the tracks. My issue was, and I did speak to Legislator Gavaris yesterday, he called me. But the more I thought about this is, who am I just taking everybody's word in this room that they have an emergency down there? Is there anything in writing, any kind of accounting, or how do we know that they really have an emergency just by being what we're told? I guess that's my question. I have a hard time. I ran on the issue of being a steward of the taxpayers' dollars and fairness to the other towns in this county. I have to say I'd really like to see some kind of documentation, some kind of finances, some kind of data, besides just taking somebody's word that they're in an emergency and need some money that's going to last them another couple of weeks. That's all I have to say.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those who know me and have been here a little while, I am opposed to the rate at which we jump on the bandwagon and do things. We push too many issues at the last minute. Last year's session, I was forced to vote on something that was put on my desk 9 minutes before the vote. And it bothers me that everything is emergency and we can't see beyond the end of our nose. I believe the comptroller of the state of New York knows that Ellenville was in dire straits. They're on the overstressed list. And this became an issue for us 4 weeks ago. It's really not the right way to handle things. I'm probably going to vote yes because I don't want to see the people of Ellenville without police service or amenities like they're plowing the snow or emergency services. I don't want to see anyone not get those life-threatening things that if they don't get them. But I think we're doing business the wrong way. This should have been brought out to the open a long time ago. I honestly believe if the village approached the New York State Comptroller's office and asked for assistance, they'd probably get state funding to carry them through and probably get a good stern talking to. But it seems like we're bailing them out. I just hope this is the only village, town, or city in our county that handles their finances this way, or else we'll be bailing out a lot of people. It's just the wrong way to do it. It doesn't look transparent to the taxpayers. Doesn't look transparent to me. But having said that, I will most likely vote yes because those people need emergency services. And I wouldn't want to see anyone go without those needs. Thank you.
Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you. So to answer some of the questions that have been raised, the State Comptroller's Office as well as state representatives have been contacted. They have been in contact with them for a while. The State Comptroller's Office does have a solution. Unfortunately, as I was saying before, there's a short-term solution, which this $178,000 will help towards to get them through to the $500, which gets them through to another $500 or $600, as Legislator Roberts pointed out, with M&T. The Financial Restructuring Board, which is through the State Comptroller's Office, does exist. The problem is it's a timing issue. They don't meet again until June of this year. Once that board meets, they then have to take up the case of, they have to agree to take up the case of Ellenville, which what they do, essentially, they do a turnaround plan. They come up with the problems, they say give you solutions, and they can give you up to $5 million towards implementing those solutions. But those are longer-term solutions. These are not the short-term and the immediate. And as my fellow legislator pointed out, the water and sewer, it impacts the school district. The school district there is on municipal water and sewer. So not only is it just the residents, but also our kids. The school won't operate. There's a lot of things. And I will say it. I said it in the committees. I'll say it again and again. I wish there was another solution. I prayed that there was another solution out there, but nobody else has been able to give me an answer other than this. And this was not my idea. This was presented to me as an option, and it was explored, and this was the only one that anybody's been able to come up with that can happen in the amount of time that it needs to happen. The mid-range and the long-term solutions are out there, but we have to get there first. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I appreciate those clarifications, and I would also add that any other towns or villages that might be looking to this as a precedent, it's unfortunately can't be. The ARPA funding was a one-time funding from the federal government. We don't expect to see that again. I hope we have no reason to see that kind of funding again. And if that funding, some small amount of it wasn't available, the county would not be in a position to do anything. So this is a kind of unique situation, and that helps me feel good that it won't set a precedent. But it should be a cautionary note. If we as a legislative body see our villages or towns struggling, having stress reports from the State Comptroller's Office, maybe we should get involved and see what we can point them towards, because we won't have this particular response as a possible assistance for them.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are short yes.
We are short no, with the following yeses: Hansett, Walls, and Litz.
The resolution is adopted, 18-4.
We are now going to move to the public comment period. So do we have anybody signed up for public comment? Absolutely, sir. I just want to let you know that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on issues that are not before the legislature this evening, and I really encourage you to speak, and we ask you to keep your comments respectful. Thank you. And could you also state your name for the record when you come to the microphone? Thank you.
My name is Stephen Rice. I'm from Accord, New York, and I am not taking off my ship's cap, not out of disrespect to you folks, but to honor the folks that are sailing in harm's way at this time.
Can you just pull the microphone a little closer?
Sure.
Thank you.
Stephen Rice is the name. Accord, New York is where I live these days. I've been working on the trails since the 1980s, and I have a very big concern about air pollution here. In my opinion, the county has imposed a tax on everyone who rides or lives near the operation of the 1940 locomotives of CMRR. The tax is less than 2.5 microns in size, but these droplets come in the hundreds and thousands in untreated diesel exhaust. The tax is harmful and cumulative and never leaves the body once it enters. The tax bill will come later in the form of cancer, heart problems, lung disease, glaucoma, and sundry other afflictions. No direct causal links have been found, but when PM2.5 exposure from diesel exhaust is reduced significantly, cancer rates go down substantially. I can't afford this mortality tax I've paid. The legislature was informed in writing and in person about the dangers of raw railroad exhaust to everyone, and specifically the passengers riding in the exhaust trail. A legislator responded, "We take this issue very, very seriously." That was December 2019. In November of 2023, that same legislator said in open meeting that they were still hoping the railroad would go solar. Another legislator in the same meeting proclaimed that the railroad company's exhaust was no worse than the dump trucks they see running up and down Route 28. The EPA publishes tables that strongly disagree with that. This meeting resulted in a 5-year contract renewal for the Tourist Railroad Company. Neither of the legislators mentioned were members of that committee. The public was not allowed to speak. The rush to award the railroad company a contract without an examination of the pollution issue demonstrates clearly that past legislatures value the financial health of the railroad over the physical health of their constituents. We need to charge the railroad for the excessive and avoidable pollution, a carbon tax. They will not change without compelling incentives, and the county could bank the money for the upcoming liability arising from ignoring this problem. The tax would be due for every gallon of diesel burned on a locomotive that does not meet Tier 4 standards as specified in the bid documents for their contract.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to wrap up your comments, please.
I hope to be back next month. I failed to communicate the severity of this problem in the past 2+ years. I will be back with more significant data. I will give you the hard numbers of what their pollution is, because they will not. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation, sir. Appreciate it. Do we have anybody else who would like to speak at Common Comment? Yes, please. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Certainly. Mike Baden. I'm the supervisor of the town of Rochester, also the president of the Supervisors and Mayors Association. Interesting to hear about ARPA discussion tonight, because just before the meeting I had conversation with several of the legislators. First, the supervisors and the mayors are very thankful for the funding that was provided to us for parks. I believe it was in May of last year when we were told of this award possibility. We all raced to get our applications in. We were awarded in July. I was one of the lucky ones that was brought to this legislature, in October. We're still waiting. We hear how quickly things have to move sometimes. As you all know, that in the end of this year, all funding must be under contract, and by the end of 2025, all projects must be done. The municipalities cannot enter into contracts. We can't begin design. In our particular case, we're building very much needed public bathrooms in our park. I've reached out to the ARPA office. I get told we're working on it. Interestingly enough, I was provided a draft contract. I turned it around in a matter of 3 days, called and said, should I take the word draft off and sign this? And I got told, no, wait. I think that was in November. So I'm asking this body to help the municipalities. As I said, we appreciate the funding. We appreciate the sentiment, but we want to get the jobs done. So any help that any members of this body can do, any information. We're all waiting for those answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bade. Anybody else like to have public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to call on Majority Leader Ushatel to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. We'll be adjourning this meeting in honor of Lewis M. Klein of Kingston, former chair of this legislature, Jack Noble of Kingston, Carl J. DiDonato, Jr. of Marlborough, Dylan Gokey of Kingston, Francesca Lepergolo of Marlborough, Starley Swan Young of Saugerties, Mary T. Collins of Marlborough, Raymond Rette of New York City, Shirley Enkler of Marlborough, William E. Moylan, Jr. of Rosendale, Gerard A. Guest, Sr. of Lake Katrine, Carol J. Viglielmo of Woodstock, Robert Duffy of Kingston, Alan Archie Craig of Port Ewan, Lawrence D. Johnson, Sr. of Kingston, Arthur J. Heidkamp of Lake Katrine, Richard O. Redder of Saugerties, M. Richard Davenport of Kingston, Alfred C. Westergaard of Saugerties, Ronald Longtoe of Kingston, Peter J. Camp of Hurley, Kevin Alexander Sampson of Kingston, Patricia Doherty of Modena, Molly Depew of Wallkill, Robert Ponesi of New Windsor, Thomas Joseph Rinaldi of Kingston, Eric C. Anderson of Highland, Dominic D. Constantino of Highland, Rose Russo of Highland, and Frankie Litz of Port Ewan.
Are there any other names that anyone would like to add or any comments? Legislator Maloney.
I rarely comment during this part of the meeting, but one of the names mentioned was on the front page of the paper the last couple of days. There are a lot of people upset about that, but I think they were upset. A lot of first responders, a lot of sheriff's department employees are upset, not because it was mentioned, but because it was just such a little piece of information that doesn't define the man that I've been hearing about from so many of his colleagues, a really kind individual that was always there. He was different. I keep getting told by a lot of the CEOs up there how kind he was, how hardworking, how he was there for people. And I think that's what a lot of people in Payne in this county and in the sheriff's department were missing. But it's inevitable. It's not the reporter's fault. They had to report on that. Something has to change going into the future. We can't ask people to work 16-hour shifts constantly in that kind of stress-filled environment and that kind of danger. They have to be able to coach their little league teams. They have to be able to get home on holidays 3 and 4 times a week. I don't know the last time anybody in this legislature worked 16 straight hours, and I don't know if any of us have ever, maybe one person here has been under that kind of stress and experienced what these men and women experience for years and years and years. And on top of it, they sit back and watch us give raises and treat so many other people in this county so much better. And there's so much more we could have done with each and every contract over the last couple of years, things that had we done it may have resulted in one less tragedy that we're experiencing over the last couple of days. And I mean it. This individual was in the middle of another one of those mandates. I can't begin to understand the kind of pain and suffering that goes into a tragedy like that. But our county had something to do with that. Our county really did have something to do with that. That job had something to do with it. And over the next couple of months, I think we have to quickly address how poorly we treat our COs. We have to do more. We have to pay them more. We have to do something about all these mandates. These men and women have to be home with their families more. We can't keep putting them through it. We can't. It's inexcusable. We have the money. We've treated so many other positions so much better in this county through the years, and something's got to change. And there is responsibility on this sixth floor
and at the top of the Sheriff's Department with regards to how these individuals are treated. We haven't gone to bat. We haven't fought hard enough. And this tragedy may have to be what starts this conversation for real.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention the four young people that we lost to road violence that is in the top right of this list in a row. I think that the county announced that the DOT and the county will be looking at that intersection where we lost the Kingston High Schoolers, Jack Noble and Dylan Gokey. But I think the problem is systemic and that our federal government has forced this into a infrastructure of violence and death. And we have to have the courage as a county government to start urging our federal and state officials to change our infrastructure and our transportation. Rest in peace.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
I had also planned to recognize the victims of traffic violence, and I appreciate Legislator Hewitt for doing so. I do want to acknowledge that two of the names on this list of among those four were not traveling in cars. You know, they were pedestrians, and we use the term vulnerable road users, and there's a reason for that, and I hope that that concept is something that we talk more about, and also that the drivers are found who killed those two young people, and that that justice is able to be served. We know that at the county level, we have no influence over the vehicle traffic law, and it's just very painful to see deaths that we don't seem to be able to stop here in our community. I do also want to recognize Kevin Sampson. He lived around the corner from me, very recognizable figure for many, all throughout Kingston for years, worked with the police department, the friendliest guy, just the absolute friendliest guy. I met him, I think, like the first week I moved here in 2013, and said hi to me every single time. He was so sweet, and I know there are so many people in Kingston that are going to remember him very fondly forever.
Yes, Legislator Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to briefly provide my remarks on the name of Starley Swan Young from Saugerties. Starley was a 21-year-old student home for the weekend in Saugerties when she was struck and killed by a hit-and-run driver, cut down in the prime of her life. And I think it's important to remember her for the wonderful person that she was. She was a civically minded individual who cared deeply about her community and was politically active. She was a model for young people to get involved to make their community a better place. And I hope that if there is any positive to come out of this tragedy, it's that we pass some legislation on the state level and do what we can in the county to, as was stated by my colleagues, to protect pedestrians and other folks in vehicles and on bicycles and all other pedestrians to the best of our ability to so that we prevent further tragedies like this from ever occurring again. And so I just wanted to stand up and provide my condolences to her family and to her friends and say, you know, may her memory be a blessing to all that knew her. Thank you.
Legislator Hansett.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to speak briefly on two individuals. William Moylan, a retired detective out of the Town of Ulster Police Department. He had a distinguished career as a uniformed officer, firearms instructor, field training officer, and detective. And I think it's important to say the name of Thomas Joseph Rinaldi, known as TJ to his colleagues, was a 23-plus year employee at our Ulster County Sheriff's Office, where he was a corrections officer. He was also a member of CERT, which is our Sheriff's Emergency Response Team. Our thoughts go out to his family, as well as to his brothers and sisters in blue.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, I would just like to mention Lou Klein. Lou Klein dedicated most of his life to Ulster County government and the constituents of Ulster County, and I could not let this meeting end without giving him his due recognition.
Legislator Collins.
As someone who represents a district that has 28 go through it, or 28 go through it, we know how dangerous that road is. That road's been dangerous for as long as I've lived here, which is 25 years. Nothing has changed. We need to look at how to change that road, how to change the driving patterns on that road to make that road safer. And I'd appreciate some help with that and some help with the state doing that. Thank you.
I've asked Legislator Harmon to say a few closing words for us tonight.
Everyone, do something with me. Breathe in and out. The word conspire means to breathe together. Tonight, we have conspired to keep Black history and a more equitable future at the forefront of our minds, create spaces for harm reduction and greater well-being, find greener and safer ways to help our neighbors move around our beautiful county, and finally, to remember those who have shaped our sense of self and our sense of community. So as we conclude our work together this evening, let's remember that we're never more than a breath apart from one another. Let's be thankful for the opportunity we have to help our fellows breathe easier, because we've done our best to conspire for a more just and a more perfect union. And so for now, safe home, good rest, and a fresh start as we breathe together again tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Legislator Harmon. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, March 19th, 2024 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chamber, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. The resolution deadline is February 23rd, 2024, and I would like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
No move. Back here.
And a second, please.
Wow.
All in favor.
Aye.
Have a good evening. Drive safe.
I guess. I've been replaced.